The words chosen for this morning are from the 25th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, and I'm reading a slightly different translation than you have before you. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these my brothers, you did for me." In Jesus Christ, the Almighty Judge, dear fellow redeemed, when we discuss the Last Judgment, people tend to just smile a little bit and think we're really backward. As far as most people are concerned, this old world's going to keep on spinning forever. Any talk about an end is just so much foolishness and religious folklore. If the idea of an end of the world is in their minds at all, it's some natural calamity, maybe a comet going to hit our planet someday and end it all. But God in his word tells us there will be a judgment, and there is nothing more certain than his word. So viewing today that last judgment at this, the end of the church year period of time, and also as we see the whole area of nature around us seemingly dying, we want to first of all think about the Almighty Judge. On that last and dreadful day, the time of which no man knows, suddenly, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will appear in all his glory, the victor divine. Then he's not going to come poor and lowly, laying in a manger, riding on a donkey, or suffering on the accursed tree. No, he will come riding the thunder clouds of heaven with all his angels and the archangels, and he'll sit down on the throne of his majesty. Before him must appear every man, from Adam to the last child born. The souls of the dead will return to their bodies, and they'll come forth in an instant. That day will be dreadful indeed, but there's comfort for those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb who sits upon the throne in judgment is the same one who in love for you and me went all the way to the slaughter for our salvation. We were covered with the filth and stench of sin, but he shed his blood to wash away our every stain and mark, our every spot and wrinkle. That wonderful treasure is offered to us again this morning through the preaching of the word and through his other means of grace. He offers it to us, and it is received by a simple, confident faith in the Savior. He offers that treasure, and one, the entire treasure for each of us, by trusting in his cross, and by keeping that faith alive unto our end through the means of grace, we will be able to stand at his appearing. Second thought this morning. What's the basis for this judgment? Our text says, All nations will gather before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Right before this text, Jesus uses the interesting picture of a Palestinian shepherd. In Middle Eastern countries, sheep and goats often graze together in a common pasture. At the end of the season, the shepherds must separate his mixed flock. A traveler in Palestine has noted what occurred here and explains this picture in this way. He said, when a sheep came up to the shepherd, he would gently tap him on the right side of his head and he would go to the right. When a goat would come, he'd tap him on the left side of his head and he would go to the left. So what's Jesus saying? Jesus is reminding us that believers and unbelievers intermingle in the outward visible church here on earth, just as sheep and goats will feed on a common pasture in Palestine. But on the last day, Jesus will separate his believing sheep from the goats. The sheep will go on his right, the sheep will go on his right, the goats on his left. So then, what is the basis for this judgment? What this morning makes us goats or sheep? And that is the most important question that can ever be placed before you. And the answer is the most important one that you will ever hear. The deciding factor is faith in the Savior, the Lamb upon the throne. The sheep are those that realize, we can do nothing to save ourselves. But rather they trust in Jesus who shed his blood to wash away their sins. And the sheep strive to keep their faith alive unto the end through a regular use of the word and the sacraments. The goats, on the other hand, are those that despise Jesus, that trust in themselves, that want no part in the Lamb once slain. This saving faith is evidenced, as this text shows, by the fruit that flows or grows from it. The person that has already been saved by faith alone, out of thanks for all that Jesus has done, will indeed feed the hungry, care for the needy, clothe those who need clothing, take in the stranger, and visit the prisoner. They do this because they're so thankful. They're filled with gratitude for what Christ did for them. Those on the left, however, do not do these things because they have no faith in the Savior and no real love in their heart. All their deeds are considered worthless in the eyes of the Lord. And finally, we look at the reward of those on the left and on the right. The lot of the two groups is entirely different. Those who reject Christ can expect horror, absolute horror in hell, in the afterlife, separated from the loving face of our Father in heaven. On the other hand, Jesus says to believers, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. To the believer, the wonderful inheritance of heaven is offered. Now, we can never fully understand, what heaven will be like. But the Bible uses a variety of pictures to describe it. It's called the wedding feast of the Lamb, the heavenly mansions, the heavenly fatherland. It's the city of pearls and gold, where streets are silver studded with gems. Also, it's called paradise, to remind us that it has all the delights that our first parents enjoyed in the garden. But the most important thing is that we will be with our Savior face to face forever in everlasting joy. Now, this entire text has been written as encouragement to each and every one of us here this morning. There was an old German man, probably getting to be my age, probably maybe even a little younger, and sat with his son at the table. The young man was overjoyed because he had just found out that his uncle had left him a great fortune. And he said to his dad, "Now I can go to the University of Berlin and become an officer in the Prussian army." "What then?" his father asked him. "Well, I'll become a great general, be famous and respected by all." "And then what?" the elderly man asked him, inquired. "Well, I'll marry a beautiful wife and I'll raise a family." "And then?" "I'll raise my children to follow in my footsteps. I'll retire as a country gentleman and write my memoirs." And then his dad looked at him straight in the eyes and said, "And what then?" The young man had nothing to say. "There is nothing else." His father responded, "It is for man once to die, and after this comes the judgment." This young man was so excited about the here and now that he forgot the eternal. God forbid that any one of us here this morning are so consumed by the clutter, the things, and the daily activities that drive us wild that we lose our own soul. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that today is still the day of salvation. Right now is our time of grace. The Lord Jesus, who shed his blood, says to each of us, "Come to me." Continue to trust in him as your Savior and keep that faith alive through a regular use of Holy Word and Blessed Sacrament. Then we will be prepared for his coming, whether it be by day or by night. Amen. Let us arise. We pray. O Father in heaven, strengthen our faith in your Son, our only Savior from sin, through your means of grace, that we be prepared for the last day. Remind us that that day for the believers will be a day of salvation. Make us watchful and ready to meet our Lord, and take us home to be with you forever in eternity. We ask it in your Son's name. Amen. We continue with the hymn.